Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Peter. And on this week's show, we'll be talking about smartphones and the accessibility of the Android operating system in particular.
We'll be talking with Access Anna, who maintains a blog about Android accessibility, about her new phone and its capabilities. And next week will pretty much be part two of this show, in which Anna will give a lot of demonstrations of some of the major functions of her new smartphone. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Anna.
A lot of people say that Android is only for techie people, and I would agree that the learning curve is longer, and I'm not sure why, but it isn't any techier than any other smartphone is. So if you're willing to work with it and struggle through that learning curve, it's actually quite easy.
You know, and I think that's true of many devices these days. You don't necessarily have to be a tech guru in order to use them. It helps a little bit, though. I mean, we can't be technologically ignorant in this society anymore. But what Anna really says is that it takes a little bit of time to get used to new paradigms and new ways of doing things, new devices, and you just have to be a little bit patient.
And I think that applies to lots of things.
Absolutely. There's always a little bit of a learning curve. Just stick with it.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll reacquaint listeners with Anna. Anna and her friend Crystal were featured on a previous show, number 1214, about another passion of theirs, which is knitting and crocheting and other yarn crafts for the visually impaired. How we ran into them was kind of interesting because we'd done a show previously, number 1145, featuring Mike Arrigo, who's done many podcasts about smartphones in particular and their accessibility. And in researching other links to provide on the show notes, we found this one blog that Anna maintains, and in it she referenced her other blog that she maintains with Crystal on yarn crafts. So that's where we found them. We just Googled Android accessibility and found Anna's blog and figured it was among the best, if not the best. Certainly very informative. So here's Anna.
I'm Anna from the Accessible Android blog. If any of your listeners ever decide to go Android and visit the Eyes Free list, they'll find me there as Anna G. When I'm not being an Android person, I'm an English teacher and a translator and interpreter.
And I guess what that means after asking her about it is that she goes to different venues, maybe public courtrooms or social meetings, where she translates from one language into another for people who need it.
Anna's been blind for a really long time.
Just for the sake of any of our new listeners, you are visually impaired, right?
Yes, I've been blind from the age of 7, more or less, and it's due to some malformation of the vitreous jelly, which resulted in retinal detachment, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, but that doesn't stop her.
I don't think so.
No, not at all. She continues to have some fun and rewarding hobbies, and also, as you'll see, she uses her smartphone in her career.
And she's become very knowledgeable on the subject, and she likes to share her knowledge with other people in many ways.
And the website for that is?
The blog is at accessibleandroid.blogspot.com.
And then we did another show with you and Crystal talking about your knitting blog. Do you want to give that URL also?
Yes, because knitting is my other passion, and that is fingeringyarn@wordpress.com. And I have a Twitter feed, and that's Access Anna. That's A-C-C-E-S-S-A-N-A.
And the funny thing about that was that Crystal and Anna had been working together doing their knitting blog for a while, several years, I suppose. And the first time they ever talked in person was when we interviewed them together for that program. So that was interesting.
You are listening to Viewpoint, 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 Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic is the Android smartphone running version 4, known as Ice Cream Sandwich, which was released just a few months ago. Next week's show will include numerous demonstrations that Anna did using her brand new smartphone. And in a couple of months, we'll do something similar with our new iPhone.
And the Ice Cream Sandwich release was a substantial improvement in accessibility for the Android operating systems. And that'll become clear as we talk with Anna throughout the show.
So how this show got timed was we knew that Anna was very knowledgeable about Androids. And we asked her if she would be willing to do a show about Android accessibility. She said, sure, I'd love to, but I need to wait until I can get my new phone. Well, of course, you know how it works with cell phone plans. She had to wait until she was eligible for the new phone. And so she got the phone pretty recently. She spent a little bit of time getting comfortable with it, going up that learning curve that she referred to. And now it's time for the show. You just recently got a new cell phone with your new plan renewal. What did you get?
I did. I got a Galaxy Samsung Nexus. My previous phone was also an Android. I got it about 2 years ago, and it was a Motorola Droid 1, the original Droid. Before that, I had a Windows phone with Talk, and I also use an iPhone sometimes because as a translator, I sometimes translate cell phone apps. So I know how to use Windows phones with Talk, iPhones, and of course, Android.
So she's had a lot of experience with smartphones over the years and is in a very good position to be able to compare the different systems.
A lot of people are happy with a regular cell phone, but Anna's career and her lifestyle motivated her to want to get a smartphone instead.
As an English teacher, I'm just so not techy. I think I'm an average user. My other job is as a community interpreter. And so what I do is I go around the county going to different social service agencies. At least that's what I was doing at the time. And so my office was my purse. I had my calendar, which was a collection of Braille note cards in my purse, and my cell phone and whatever else. And so I spent most of the day in the car.
You have a driver?
Yeah, I have a driver. And so I would spend most of my day in the car just going from place to place and to work different types of social service encounters and medical encounters and legal encounters and things like that. And so the cell phone was very important because I would get calls and they would say, can you be here in an hour? And I would say yes or no, or how about 2 hours, that kind of thing. And so I had just this basic cell phone and it did the job. But then the people I worked for started to tell me that they wanted to text the appointment information to me. And so I needed a phone that could text accessibly. And at the time, the only way you could do that was to get a smartphone with either Talk or mobile speak. And so I got a Windows phone, and texting was pretty much the only smart feature it did really well at that time.
What Anna's experience points out to us is that, you know, sometimes there's a function you need to perform or something you want to do, and it may not at first be obvious how to accomplish that task or what to do about it. And so you think about the various solutions, you see which one fits your needs and your particular personality and how you like to work. And often there's various solutions that you can make your choice from, and Anna certainly used different solutions over the years, but you pick the one that works for you and somehow you can work it out usually. And she's certainly done that with these smartphones, integrating it right into her work.
The other thing that she points out is that oftentimes if there's a function that you want to perform, it may not be possible now, or it may just not be accessible now. But if you wait 6 months or a year or 2 years, well, new possibilities crop up and then you can do whatever function it was that you were trying to do.
So keep your eyes and ears open for new ideas and new technologies, and, you know, be receptive to the world as it changes.
Right. So as Anna mentioned, she's worked with Android phones and iPhones and other different kinds of smartphones and cell phones. And each of these has its own pluses and minuses.
They both had a learning curve. The iPhone learning curve was about 2 weeks, and the Android learning curve was about a month. The iPhone is easier to use in the sense that once you get the fact that you touch something and then you can double tap anywhere on the screen, you know, once you know that and you understand how to touch the phone and you can do whatever it is you need to do, maybe 80% of the things you need to do, you can muddle around and figure it out yourself. With Android, for whatever reason, it just took a lot longer for the this is how the phone works to click. But once it worked, once I got that click, I really liked the phone a lot better. And even though the accessibility is not as polished and there are gaps and there are things you need to work around, for whatever reason, the Android just worked for me personally as a user.
But at least we as blind people have choices these days, and you can try each out. You can listen to a lot of reviews, for instance, on this show or some of the podcasts on the net, and choose the solution that works for you, or maybe even the one that's just the most fun for you.
Or our son recently fished in for a smartphone, and he's selling cars now, and it was really important to him to have a long battery life because he can be with customers for hours on end. So there may be factors that are important to one person that aren't so important to the other person. When you select a phone, you need to consider many factors, and with all of these choices available, it can get pretty confusing. Salespeople are great about describing what features each phone has, and if you don't understand what they're saying, just keep asking them questions. They'll be very accommodating.
And of course, one of the problems is that they're not always very familiar with the accessibility features, so sometimes it takes a little bit more playing around in the store or asking questions of other people who have had experience with some of the accessibility features.
Buying a cell phone is a tricky decision because the phone has to fit your personality, and people's personalities are just odd things. And I think one very practical concern for me was that the particular Android phone I got also had a hardware keyboard. At the time, you absolutely had to have a hardware keyboard. And that made typing and arrowing around much faster for me than the iPhone. So I think that was a big deal. And even now, if you get an Android device that is version 3.0 or earlier, you need a physical arrow key of some sort. And having a hardware keyboard helps. It's not essential, but it really makes things easier. And so I think for me personally, that was one big plus on the Android side, because I could type a lot faster. I could type in noisy situations without having to make sure I had earphones on or something.
And that was one of the things that Mike Arrigo mentioned when we talked to him in show 1145 about the Android phones, was particularly with the older versions of Android, you really needed some kind of navigation keypad or an actual keypad to type in things. You needed some kind of arrow keys. It wasn't until the new version of the Android operating system, Ice Cream Sandwich, which Anna is discussing in most of this show, where Google introduced some very accessible ways of navigating the screen by touch. So they're kind of catching up to where the iPhone has been for a few years.
So we're actually bringing Mike back for a few seconds because he, for some reason, remembers the nicknames of all of the previous versions of Android, and we thought we'd let him share that with you.
The new Android 4.0, of course, is out now, Ice Cream Sandwich. What a tasty name for an Android version. All of theirs are desserts. 1.5 was cupcake, then 1.6 was a donut, 2.1 was eclair. I'm not sure what that is.
I guess it's a French pastry.
Oh, okay. 2.2 was frozen yogurt, 2.3 was a gingerbread, and then 4.0. Well, Android 3 was just for tablets. It wasn't for smartphones, and that was known as a honeycomb. And then now we're up to Android 4.0, which does kind of consolidate the tablet and smartphone lines all as one OS, and that's known as Ice Cream Sandwich.
Boy, those operating systems really sound appealing. You wonder what the next one's going to be.
They just keep getting tastier.
They do.
So let's get back to Anna describing what's new and different in the latest version ice cream sandwich.
Version 4 release has really made many changes. The biggest change is that we now have access to the screen. When you start your Android phone and you start accessibility, or you have store staff start it for you, you need to turn on two different accessibility services. One is TalkBack, and that's the screen reader. TalkBack includes KickBack, which is haptic feedback, and SoundBack, which produces clicks and pops and other nonverbal auditory feedback.
Haptic feedback, for people who don't know, that's vibrations?
That's vibrations. Yes, you can, as you're moving around the screen, let's say to a button that you can press, you'll feel the phone vibrate a little bit. This is beyond the vibration that is part of Android in general. This is a little extra.
Oh, that's a nice feedback.
Yeah, so SoundBack and KickBack are now part of TalkBack in their settings in TalkBack. The other accessibility setting you want to start when you get your new device is Explore by Touch. And that's the big new thing in Android 4. And so what Explore by Touch does is it allows you to touch the screen and hear feedback as you do. And when you find a control that you want to activate, what you do is you lift your finger and then you touch the screen in exactly the same place.
So this is reasonably similar to how the iPhones have been used with their touch screen.
The difference is that when you use an iPhone, once you find your icon and you hear it spoken, you can double tap the screen at any place on the screen. With Android, you need to touch in the same place.
But presumably you don't have to pick your finger up very far. So you just barely lift it off the screen and then put it back down where it was, where you found that icon?
Exactly. And that's the best way to do it. When I first got a phone, I was picking my finger up a lot. But, it only took about 5 minutes to figure out that, just breaking contact is enough.
So for a visually impaired person, you do have to be aware of that the different phones, iPhones or Androids, the experience may be pretty similar for sighted people in terms of how they navigate the applications, open up applications, run various programs. But the experience is a little bit different if you can't see and you need to use the accessibility features. You have to get used to slightly different hand gestures, and you should make sure you read through the documentation. There's plenty online and often comes with the phone, and it may require a little bit of practice.
As with any device, a smartphone can get frustrating for a new user, but just remember to be patient, explore the thing, be a little creative, be very persistent. And inside of a week or two or three, you'll actually be feeling pretty comfortable working your way around the new phone.
Right. And don't be afraid to experiment, try new things. You may make some mistakes, but you can always recover.
For whatever reason, when you're new to the phone, it's useful to keep the phone on a table or some other steady surface just as you're learning to touch the phone. I noticed that with Android, the way you touch the phone is a lot lighter than the way you touch an iPhone. So I just spent the first few days with my new phone learning how to interact with it, learning how quickly or slowly I needed to move my finger, how lightly or heavily I needed to move. I had a tendency to keep my finger on the same place, which would sometimes screw things up. So I learned not to do that. So it's really, whatever your device is, it really is worth it to spend a few days just learning to get to know it.
Well, and that's another interesting hint is that, when you get a new phone, expect to spend some time with it. If you're very busy, you may want to put it off a little bit until you have some free time to play with it and learn how to operate the phone and take full advantage of its functionality. It just takes time.
One of the very first things I learned when I got my very first Android phone was that to make my life as a blind person easier, I needed to turn off the orientation feature. When I got my first phone, a sighted friend of mine came over to help me learn to use the phone. And he kept telling me, no, straighten out your hand. No, put your hand this way. And I'm like, but my hand is straight. I am vertical, And I realized that I'm not as vertical or horizontal as I think. And so the first thing I did after he left was to turn off auto rotate. And that made my life much, much easier. The phone was always predictable.
one of the first podcasts I listened to about smartphones a couple of years ago, it happened to be that whoever was demonstrating it, it was obvious that the phone kept switching into landscape and portrait mode. They must have been holding the phone relatively flat, and the phone just quite couldn't figure out whether it wanted to be in landscape or portrait mode. So things kept shifting around on the screen and moving, were very unreproducible. So you do have to be a little bit careful about that.
And we've seen some of our sighted friends with their new devices, whether it's an iPad or an Android smartphone, but anything with these touch screens, which are sensitive to the orientation, and they turn it just a little bit, and all of a sudden the screen rotates by 90 degrees, and that's surprising to them too, and a little bit frustrating.
Right, and everything's in a different place all of a sudden.
So that's a great hint to turn off the auto rotate feature, because then at least everything will stay where you think it was. One feature of these smartphones that's really useful, especially for blind users, is speech recognition. How do you feel about the relative quality of the speech recognition on the two devices?
I think they're pretty comparable. When Google put out its first version of the accessible on-screen keyboard, it had a voice input key. And I found that it worked really well. The first 20 to 30 times you use voice input, the results are miserable. They're awful. But I guess the phone needs that time to get to know your voice, because after that, the results are amazingly good.
So it actually trains off of your initial usage?
I haven't read anything that says that, but that was my experience. I mean, the first few times I used it, the first 20 or 30 times, I thought, oh, this is just a bunch of junk. And then suddenly, maybe it got its feelings hurt. I don't know. It just corrected itself, and it's fine.
So that's interesting. Do you think it learned from you, or you think maybe you learned how to enunciate in order to get it to do better?
I think it's a combination of the two, because my previous experience with voice recognition is that you have to enunciate and speak clearly and so on. And with this, the instructions were that you had to speak naturally. And I found that I had better results when I said things like 5595522 as opposed to 5595522, you know? So it seemed to be better when the voice was more fluid.
For any of you that might have used speech recognition in the past several years ago, you really might want to give it another try. It has really come a long way. These systems really do a remarkably good job of understanding exactly what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. 10 or 12 years ago, I was having terrible trouble with my wrists due to carpal tunnel. I used Dragon Naturally Speaking for maybe a year until I finally gave in and had surgery. And it really, you know, it worked. But boy, it was an arduous task to get it to work. But now the voice recognition on these products is fantastic. So any software is likely to have its share of bugs and other quirks, and it's important for the users who find these to point them out to the developers so that they can get fixed.
Are there opportunities to provide feedback to Google about the Android system for accessibility?
Yes, Google has a bug tracker, and I do link to it on my blog. And so you can fill out a form. It's a very simple form that says, here's what the phone does, here's what I expect it to do. And you can mark it accessibility or A11Y. And those complaints get sent to the accessibility team. And the accessibility team has been very responsive. They sit on the eyes-free Android list, and I think that's pretty commendable because they're busy people with other things to do, and the feedback isn't always very productive, and they do respond. So I think that's good.
And most developers are quite happy to improve accessibility of their products, and you know, I believe it's really incumbent upon us as blind individuals to make the developers aware of the problems. They generally don't use the products the same way we do, and it's only by being made aware of the problems and some of the issues that we're seeing that they can rectify these problems at all. So it really is important for us to contribute to this effort and make the developers aware.
Now for this week's high-tech item. a brief assessment of accessibility in smartphones in general.
The accessibility in the iPhone is a little more mature. So you don't have to work around so much. With Android, there are still gaps. There are a lot fewer gaps than there used to be, but there's still a little working around to do. So I wouldn't say that the Android phone is for a techie person. It's just for a person who likes a little more adventure. But I think both are very usable. And I think the message I want to get out about the Android phone is that it is a viable option. It's cheaper. So for people on a budget, they can get a low-cost Android phone with lots of features, a little bit of working around, but you can do a lot of your working around for free. I think also that the whole Android iPhone debate is part of a bigger picture. And as blind people, we've been wanting accessibility forever, and we've been wanting access to things, to jobs, to technology, to the things that are part of our daily lives. And I think sometimes we forget that accessibility is not always what we think it's going to be. And so I think we need to be a little more adventurous as a community, and we need to support companies that are trying to work with us, even if it seems a little odd to us. And so I really like Android because I feel like I'm part of something that's part of a door that's opening for us, and I really want to support that.
Well, it is nice that at least we have choices these days. And it sounds like,
yes,
despite some of the gaps you've talked about, that a user can manage to work around those and the phone is quite functional.
Oh, yes. I mean, my own job, I is really dependent on the phone and on a smartphone, and I'm able to do it with this phone.
Well, that's probably the best testament of all. If you're able to accomplish your job, that's what really counts.
Yes.
I think developers and manufacturers in general these days are a lot more receptive to accessibility and improving accessibility of their products than they used to be, you know, a decade or longer ago. It's really important to companies these days to make their products as usable as possible by as wide of a community as possible. And so they really have made great strides. Apple, Google, Microsoft, many of these developers have really thought about these issues.
As always, if you missed any of the links we gave during the show, they'll all be in the show notes, which you can find at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net. That's it for show number 1227. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll bring Anna back, and she'll be doing demonstrations of some of the major functions of the newest version of the Android smartphone. So if you enjoyed this show and you want more details and demonstrations, come back next week. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.